Bahia, ação, Bahia. Eu vou estar no começo do seu número, senhor, eu vim por 26.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working towards you. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. I would like to begin this hearing with the following summary. Mr. Zahir Zahir, ADC number 034126, is 62 years old. The crime of dangerous and deadly assault by a prisoner occurred in 1981. He was approximately 25 years old at the time of the incident offense. He was found guilty by jury trial on January 20th, 1982, and sentenced to life imprisonment, and known as original prison sentences for burglary, theft, and aggravated assault, that is, the original causes for imprisonment during said assault, have since expired. It should be also noted that he was granted parole to his next consecutive sentence, passing from his burglary to theft prison terms on August 8, 1984. Later, he was granted regular parole on December 2nd, 2015, which was revoked on April 11, 2016 for actively avoiding supervision. He has an extensive criminal history, which includes arrests for providing false information to police, escape, aggravated assault, larceny, burglary, and disorderly conduct. I will read a very short summary of the offense in question. According to a summary by the Pinal County Attorney's Office, Mr. Zahir is in prison for 1982 conviction for dangerous or deadly assault by a prisoner, for which he received a life sentence. He was also convicted of prisoner in possession of a deadly weapon arising from the same incident. And Mr. Zahir, I will ask you questions during the course of this hearing, but there was little in the parole packet describing the incident that resulted in you receiving a life sentence. But I will continue with the summary, and we'll get into that in just a short moment. According to Mr. Zahir's institutional progress report, he said limited programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections, although I will also let you account for that, because in reviewing the list of your programming, there were some spaces there that suggested you might be receiving some programming right now, and it wasn't documented. He has a release plan which includes living in a homeless shelter, seeking work, and pursuing substance abuse counseling. He's had a significant amount of discipline in the Department of Corrections, 7 pages worth to be exact, from 1981 through 2018, with his last major on May 3rd, 2017 for disorderly conduct. This appears to be his 13th hearing before the board. He has no recent letters of support in his parole packet. We do have a letter dated August 22nd, 2018 from the Pinal County Attorney's Office which opposes parole. So, Mr. Zahir, this hearing is another chance for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us about the offense that resulted in your incarceration and why you think you should be considered again for supervised release? Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. But you're speaking to the whole board. I'm serving as the panel lead today. Thank you, sir.
The panel lead, so that's the chairperson. That would be the chairman, right, sir?
Well, we have a chairperson that's in the room right now. He is our board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. But the position of lead in the hearing out through the board, so at any given, on any given day, pardon me, any board member may be serving as the lead for a hearing.
I've had officers of the government concerning the assault that you were referring to?
Yes, sir.
Well, I think that the parole board, the standing parole board now, knows that they were wrongly, as you so eloquently spoken about, being on December 2nd, to be continued on the government. But according to the honorable board, the honorable board wants them to continue to repeat a crime that I haven't even committed a since 1981, May 2, May 29th of that year. And you're asking me to, I had to try, I was found guilty of assaulting this prisoner in the same National Security Bureau. This was all on the record. It's even in my career.
Sir, I'm not arguing with you whether it's on the record. I'm asking you to tell us about the crime that resulted in you being in prison. Right now you're serving a life prison sentence for dangerous deadly assault on a prisoner, or by a prisoner, pardon me, dangerous and deadly assault by a prisoner. I recognize this dates back to 1981. I recognize that you were granted parole back in 2015, but your parole was revoked, and you were returned to prison to continue with a life sentence. So this is an opportunity, again, to appear before this board for us to consider whether or not to grant regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest.
Well, I was expecting the honorable parole board to zero in more so on the violation of the parole commission as an award that was served on me and to the Department of Corrections and the honorable parole board.
Sir, I'm going to have to interrupt you there. I didn't say that you didn't want to hear about that. And I did make reference in the summary that you were granted regular parole, which was revoked on April 11, 2016 for actively avoiding supervision. Because of that violation, you were returned to prison, which means you are continuing on your life sentence, you are up for parole, and we're considering whether or not to grant you regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, or in this case, to return you to regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. Pardon me, forget about the absolute discharge, but whether or not to return you to regular parole or home arrest. So yes, we are zeroing in on that, but you were returned to prison on your original charge. So, when you appear before this board, it's customary that we review the crime in question and then check in on your progress inside the Department of Corrections to see if this board will vote, if this board finds you a suitable candidate to return to regular parole or possibly home arrest. So, if you want to talk about your revocation on April 11, 2016, we can certainly talk about that.
Well, I thought, Mr. Town Leader, Mr. Colonius, excuse me about Mr. Johnson's name, sir?
No, I understand, sir, that I'm probably mispronouncing yours as well, so. Go ahead, sir.
Let me try to continue on, because you know we're going to go down this memory lane about this deadly assault. And deadly assault that the big honorable board members
documentation on two things sent to me. This guy, or should I say he, Mr. President, we need to be acquainted. But because of this speed of wisdom or wise in that type of situation, when you're dealing with people that are incarcerated, sometimes things have a tendency of getting out of hand when there's no understanding, when there's rumors being spread about, and so on and so forth. And because nobody wants to take the time to stand back and observe and to try to see what's really going on, instead of acting on impulse and acting on propaganda and the misunderstanding of whatever information that was getting out of the environment, prisoners have a tendency to dive in head first. And that's the reason why the Arizona State Prison is so overcrowded with people that are not using their cerebral cortex and seems like trying to analyze the situation. But it also varies from individual to individual. As far as me being guilty of the crime that I was found guilty of and sentenced to, yes, the parole board has extended knowledge of all the recorded hearings that I appeared before. They're fully aware of this. And in my grand efforts, for me, I'm trying to involve Mr. Greenman, I wholeheartedly try to show the Honorable Parole Board that I respect their intelligence as a taxpaying people that are supposed to be allegedly concerned with the safety of the community. With all that said, on my part, I'm hoping to try to paint a picture to the Honorable Parole Board that I know what my personal problem is as an individual and as an inmate or as a so-called resident of the Arizona Department of Corrections, it has something to do with authority. But am I worthy to even be presented in front of the parole board despite all of my program efforts made and the community program that I presented to witness E.T. Wright, and he called them the community program? I bought files in the parole board, and I was looked at as some mass evil that runs around here with a fully automatic weapon trying to go down the ground and fool around. Come on now. I'm trying to show the parole board that I go out of my way when being prison guards to program and even find paper, legal paper, because I believe in virtue. And I have a single thing here that can show you the certificate that I have achieved during this prison program. Now, getting back to the dead itself. What does the parole board want to do or be reasonable for you about this incident? If I think the Honorable Chairman himself, Mr. Stephen Wright, is fully aware of overall about this deadly assault. But what I need the parole board to know, coming from the assailant, the convicted one, is that if they look at the record, what other criminal conviction am I serving now? None. You have no record. What about his so-called poor institutional behavior?
Well, hold on, sir. Hold on. You're talking about so-called poor institutional behavior. You got 7 pages worth of discipline through 2018 with their last major in May of 2017, which is pretty recent. So, actually, if you want to talk about zeroing in on anything, that's what I'm zeroing in on. You have a lot of discipline inside DOC. What is that about, sir?
Can I have a reaction to speak?
Yes, sir.
I have a religious insight disagreement with the court. Why do you want me? Case number 18C41080. Disrespect the staff. It is a civil order. Can you see the name on there of C3?
Yeah, that was informally resolved. Yes, sir.
It was this minute, not guilty, sir. That was my last disciplinary interaction as New Building House would suggest. That was my last one, sir. Now, I'm not here to argue with the Honorable Board about my disciplinary record. It is well known. You have your service going through all the hard files. You see writers that you don't agree with. But the last time I was in the public court hearing, this year was an issue when I was in this jail day right now. And I bought my last dictionary that I received here with my file. And it says that this list will recommend does not work in the census. I wrote some of the announcements that have contact board briefly, not on an every day or every week or every month basis, if she is the coordinator discipline on the witness regard. As the board members already know, I'm calling them the civil on three sides of the yard, sir. Disciplinary, that was my last one.
Thank you, sir. I knew that. I knew that your last discipline had been thoroughly resolved. I was asking you about the one prior to that on May 3rd for disorderly conduct, a major. And that is recent, sir. We consider as a rule of thumb, so to speak, discipline that's happened in the last 5 years or so is recent. So you do have a 2017 major, but the thing that I can't help but notice, because I don't think I've ever seen this much discipline, is that you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and spilling into 7 pages of discipline. So why have you had such a long history of discipline inside the Department of Corrections?
Let me say this to you, Mr. Cornelius, without any too much of the board's time. One way, major factor, sir, I am 62 years old now. I am not the one that was 25 or 30 or 40 or even in my early 50s. I'm not that guy anymore. And you already know that when I first came on the street in December 2nd, I got kicked up and was arrested at Arizona Department of Corrections. This is a fact. This is not a hoax. Why would I be worried when I find out for you would have that type of blatant disrespect for authority by notifying my parole officer by voicemail? And also talking to the parole officer in person and asking this officer of the state, was this officer that sound like a sound you would engineer?
Does it sound like a what, sir?
Does that sound like a sound you would engineer?
Well, sir, it sounds like a scowling to me if you were missing from community supervision for several days. How many days are you missing, sir?
I had a warrant too, sir.
Well, no, sir, it doesn't.
You're looking at the wrong room. And it was only one room, Mr. Lewis, and then you asked.
Oh, it does say it.
Oh, pardon me.
Line 3. On page 2, line 3.
Okay, well, pardon me. I stand corrected, Mr. Zaheer. Let it not be said that I will be held to account. On February 11, 2016, Federal left a voicemail message stating that he had been discharged from TLC. The Federal stated that he is now residing at Cass Homeless Shelter located at 230 South 12th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Although, sir, you know, we're going through a drill here. The bottom line is you were violated and revoked back in 2016. So what are we arguing about?
Hold up action management. paragraph provision. Recovery and wellness.
Okay. So that's outstanding, and I commend you for that programming. There were classes that seemed related to addiction. So did you have a past issue with drug use? And I'm asking just to understand you. I'm not asking whether or not you're using drugs right now. I'm saying, did you have a past issue with drug use?
I knew drugs very early in my life, sir. But I've never been arrested or convicted of drug use. So I keep the opportunity since I'm a little older, and hopefully a little wiser, that I can keep it for myself to engage in new classes, including NA and AA, that I do in my own. I feel that these classes and speaking with the facilitators and rising counselors could help me maintain the straight narrow, because that's what's going to be required when you're in the world, is that you got to take your analysis. When your color comes up, you have to go down your task and eliminate other people. They will know if you're clean or drug-free. That's not a problem.
Okay, sir. I think I just have one big question, and then I'm going to allow my colleagues ask questions, should they want. My question is, I think you stated that your problem is with authority. So if you have problems with authority, why should we consider returning you to supervised release, in which you will certainly have to deal with authority figures? Why should we return you?
Well, I could have trained to do the slip game, which you are a thinking person, and just know the title in structural intelligence. And I know, because I know you better than you think you will ever know me, or even if it's more than a bit. I was going to do in the program that I was working on over the weekend and handed it to the council. I've always had a problem with authority. This thing doesn't look what it is. Before you became the board officers of the government, I've always had a problem with authority. So, by you voting in my knowledge who I am as a person, I have to change that. I have to convince myself of that. And then, when I convince myself of that, I have to convince authoritative figures, such as yourself, such as correctional staff that work in the Arizona Department of Corrections, such as the police civil officers that work in these cities here in the state of Arizona, and any other authoritative figure, especially my boss that works in the system. I have to persuade these people that I don't have a problem with authority. Because like my brother used to tell me when I was a little nappy little boy, you're going to answer to somebody. That's the bottom line. If you think you can't answer to no one, then you have a terrible overflowing in your population with people that don't have no regard or any respect for authority.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Thank you, Mr. Zahir. I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Zahir, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've told us, and we recognize that that you've shared quite a bit, but this is your hearing. This hearing is your right. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before this board goes into discussion and votes on this case? Thank you, Mr. Zaheer.
Thank you for hearing me out and I'm honored to do three responses. My last remark by the Honorable Member of the Auditor Committee 2018. It was stated for the record, 2018 will be ended, no family, community, support system, history of assaulting behavior, serious violent injury, recent disciplinary infractions, serious and violent spirits, charges of the rule. Now, the Honorable Member knows that I am being convicted or arrested or no other criminal offense since 1981. Disciplinary infraction is the issue seriously considered by board members because if this inmate is unable to adjust in a structured environment, then this inmate cannot adjust in an open society. So I understand what I think I do about the correlation about adjusting to the environment, but my work rep is impeccable. Prison work record, may I suggest to you, working is not the problem. My disciplinary record is a problem to the board members or to the board members. But they never comment on my work record. I go out of my way to work to make a living for myself and have the work in organized society to make a living. My family support system, my family wealthy. I don't need the business. I don't need them coming up here stealing money from me. They're not responsible for my behavior as an adult. I hold myself responsible for any illicit behavioral activity. They are not the cause of my problems. The parole board members are not the cause of my problems. This society that I live in is not the cause of my problems. I am the cause of these problems.
Thank you, Mr. Zaheer. Oh, pardon me, go ahead.
As far as community programs, they will do you right, have those letters from 2017. All of these people are waiting on and still need to show up. And I can't continue to capture these people because they got people living out there in the community. We got a lot of veterans coming over from the world. They need work. And so why should they give them the deal to wait on me when I can't even give them the back to society? And these people don't turn themselves around or turn their life around
up because the board does need to go into discussion soon.
Okay, well, the thing is, let me say for the record, I have a good program on the board. I have a place to go over to. Is this aware of what the board wants to do with me? Because they already have them.
already, and the neighbors already know, I've been the road. And we turn because that the violation of the religion. And I'm good with that. Thank you for your time. Everyone in the room is listening.
Thank you, Mr. Chief. Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard of the re-entry centers?
No.
Well, they have two. They have one and two.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Maricopa Re-entry Center, the Pima Re-entry Center. I wasn't sure what you were. I thought you were talking about Halfway House. Pardon me, sir.
No, Halfway House. Excuse me. The Queen. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Zaheer. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you will just remain on the phone, and if you can remain silent for just a little while, the board is going to deliberate, and we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, Mr. Zaheer.
Thank you.
Just a quick question, if I may, Mr. Turner.
Yes.
I recognize we're in parole and not revocation time, but I don't think it's documented in the standard record. Certainly we take notes during the revocation hearings. Do we have any references to how many days he absconded or was actively avoiding supervision?
He physically made contact with one of the parole officers at CAS on the 13th and was directed to report on the 16th of February, 2016, and stated he would, and he was arrested on the 22nd. So after the contact on the 13th, there was no contact with parole, and he was arrested on the 22nd.
So about 9 days?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Turner. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly appreciate Mr. Zaheer's efforts inside the Department of Corrections. I think it's good that he went off his programming. He talked very much about his work inside the Department of Corrections, and I do think that's very meaningful. I do want to qualify, and again, this is amongst the board, that it is hard to look past such a long period of disciplinary activity. And again, I recognize that his last discipline was dismissed. And I'm glad to hear that. I hope Mr. Zaheer is turning a corner. I understood what he meant in his discussion about authority. But just in the tone of the dialogue today, combined with discipline through 2017, which is not long ago, I'm struggling as to whether or not we are dealing with an individual who is willing to adhere to the conditions of supervision. And again, I will also say, and I think this is going above and beyond, yes, I do recognize that he was returned to the correction system over a crime that happened in the 80s. We review those crimes because that's technically what he's inside the prison system for right now. The original crime, after he was revoked on his community supervision, his parole, his home arrest, I think it was his general parole. But I'm struggling as to whether or not I find that Mr. Zaheer would adhere to the conditions of release, and that is where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, the Honourable is going with
it. Thank you, Mr. Kamanis. I just think Mr. Zaheer has and he admits this, he has trouble with authority. And I don't think that he'll be able to comply with the orders of the direction of his parole officer. So I agree with you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Whitmouse. Any further input from my colleagues? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. Zaheer. ADC number 034126. My motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, and based on the year of the crime, he'll be certified eligible within 6 months to appear again before this board, and that has been motion.
Second.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gill Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Mr. Neal. Mr. Johnson,
agree.
Dr. Wright, again, we have denied his 412A411 or HA, which is to say regular parole, absolute discharge, of MRS. Reasons for denial as follows. Again, serious and violent offense, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, violated previous parole, history of assaultive behavior, prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infractions, and I am talking 2017. And again, unless I read this incorrectly, I did not find family or community support for anything that my colleagues felt should be added. Okay, Mr. Zegier, the board has voted unanimously to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. You've heard the discussion. I think you know what the issues are. We do appreciate everything you shared with us today. So you'll be certified to appear before this board again in 6 months, and we hope that you have continued good behavior inside the Department of Corrections. But as is your right, you will have another chance to state your case before this board. Did you understand the reasons for denial? Yes, sir. So we're not going into discussion right now. The board's voted, we've made our decision. So unless you have a question, we are going to bring this hearing to a close.
Okay, board officers.
Thank you, Mr. Zahir. We'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Okay.